Welcome back to the Vermont Conversation. Sometimes stories for the Vermont Conversation happen by, well, serendipity. This Sunday, I was flying back on a plane when I struck up a conversation with the gentleman sitting next to me. He had an interesting story about having been a priest for 27 years and was now a management consultant. He was coming to Vermont to work with a company called Alltech, which is a regional office of an international company that makes natural feed additives for livestock and farm animals. He really got my attention, though, when he mentioned that the night before he was at one of the marquee March Madness games where he was a special advisor, a motivational advisor, to Coach John Calipari of the University of Kentucky Wildcats. And for those who follow such things, they know that the Wildcats barely survived with their life, having won against Notre Dame in a two-point game that they were not supposed to even be threatened by. So all of this combined to lead me to want to sit down with the man sitting next to me and have him on this week. No, not to give you predictions about how your March Madness pool is going to end, but to hear what it is he has to share with businesses, people, sports figures about how to succeed in what they do. Declan Coyle is the author of The Green Platform, subtitled Simply Life-Changing, and a consultant to, well, just about everyone. Declan Coyle, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you very much, David. It's my great pleasure to be here in Vermont.
How do you go from being a priest for 27 years to being a consultant to international sports teams and businesses?
Well, it's, again, you mentioned serendipity, and it's that it came as a flow. I'd been a Columban missionary with the Columban missionaries, the Catholic missionaries in the Philippines and Asia and Latin America, and I'd started off, they sent me to Ottawa to do my postgraduate studies, and then I was asked to teach afterwards in Boston here, down the road. And I remember writing to the Superior Generals and saying I've had 9 years of post-high school study, and my head is full of book knowledge. But I'm not safe to let loose on students because I think I know it all. But if you give me 5 years in a slum in the Philippines or Latin America with the slum dwellers who've been to the University of Life and survived, and I get this in my blood and my guts and my bones, then I will teach anywhere. So by immediate reply, I got a letter saying, you're appointed to a slum in the Philippines for 5 years. And it was an extraordinary experience, David, because it totally changed my outlook on life and everything when I saw... I'll give you an example. The last 90 days I was there, I buried 65 children under 2 years old, all who died from hunger and hunger-related diseases. So then I went back to Ireland and raised a lot of money and awareness about that. And people ask me, what's the connection now with working with a multinational company and being a consultant to a company like Alltech? And I'd say, to me, it's total continuity, because when I look at a company like Alltech, our idea way back then in the 70s was feed the world. We had our Irishman Bob Geldof setting up all these concerts to feed the world, and we had songs about feeding the world. But when you look at what we actually did was we fed the world, but what we managed to do was create more malnourished fat people like ourselves. And the challenge that Alltech put to me is that, no, it's not about feeding the world, but it's helping the world to feed themselves and their animals nutritious food, so that it's the future is about good natural nutrition. So I would see a direct continuity there, and within the Alltech world, they're looking at 2050, where we will have 9 billion people here looking to be fed, and it's how can we get food that's efficient, and that's making good use of land, that's not using pesticides. And good, not using antibiotics or not using hormones, but just get food that's natural and good for people and for animals. So there's a very good continuity there.
So you have an idea and that you talk about to the companies and the athletes you work with that you call the Green Platform. Explain what the Green Platform is.
The Green Platform is a methodology of being positive all day, every day. And it's I used to be against positive thinking because I thought it was actually an American aberration coming from Ireland. Because I thought in America people are very positive, but I was wondering how sincere it was, because you go out of a supermarket here and you'd hear, have a nice day, have a nice day, have a nice day, and you wondered, was it sincere? Whereas in Ireland, we were all negative, and we knew we were sincere. But my problem was that if I had a massive, my three children, say, were killed, a major tragedy, and then you come in and say, oh, be positive, or have a PMA, have a positive mental attitude, you can't pour pink paint over human suffering. You have to feel it. You have to honor it. If it's tragedy, you cry the tears. If it's loneliness, you turn on the tap. And then you have a choice, but you're emotionally honest. And where I got the beginnings of the Green Platform and the Red Platform was from one of my visiting professors in Ottawa was a famous psychiatrist called Viktor Frankl. He was an Austrian psychiatrist, tortured in Auschwitz during the Second World War. And he told me, they tortured me, they broke my body, they did operations on my genitals. But he says they couldn't touch my spirit. And he said, every moment of every minute of every hour of every day, inside, I chose happiness, I chose joy. And I was happy every day in Auschwitz. Now he says, there I discovered the last and the greatest of the human freedoms. And that is to choose your response in any given set of circumstances. And he said, between stimulus and response, there is a space. Now, I call it the white space. And in that, we have the freedom to choose. And in that lies our growth. And in that lies our development. He said, we're not responsible for other people's actions, but we're totally responsible for our reactions. So that had a profound effect on me. And then I remember one day at traffic lights. And I said, okay, we have an event. You feel it, you honor it, you have your white space, and you have a choice. You can choose a red platform from the red lights, because subliminally I wanted that to be stopped. But on that red platform is the victim, the whinge, the complain, the moan, the whine, the poor me, the victim story. On the red platform we have these energy vampires. You know, David, it's not their bad breath or their body odor, but you meet them and they're whinging, they're complaining, and they suck the energy from you. But we can equally choose the green platform. And the green platform is where we have the 10 most powerful words in the English language, no word more than two letters. If it is to be, it is up to me. And it's where we find peace, where we find joy, where we find happiness, where we're creative, where we're innovative, where we choose actions that bring joy to others, where we're totally responsible, and where we're conscientious. Now, conscientious, David, it's not a very sexy word, but when we study marriage and work, it's the word that makes all the difference. In a marriage, conscientious means that I actually put out the garbage, that I put the dishes in the dishwasher. In work, it's this extraordinary thing that when you ask me to do something, I'll actually do it. And then it's the platform where we find, where each one of us have a unique talent. And we connect to our purpose. We do what makes our hearts sing. And we don't die with our music still in us. And it's the platform where we find our treasure. Now, I use the word treasure because in the opening line of the book, I could quote from Paulo Coelho, everyone on the face of the earth has a treasure that lies waiting for them. But then 30 chapters later, I'm finishing the book on the Green Platform and the choice we have to live in the Green Platform every day. And I said the last sentence was, if you live in the Green Platform, you will find the treasure that lies waiting for you, comma. But if you're really awake and aware, the treasure will find you. And that's then I developed it into red platform. We have red platform stories. We have poison stories. Green platform, we have power stories. An example would be something happens again. I go on the red platform and I choose a disempowering negative story. And it's woe is me. Disaster. But I can equally choose the green platform and say, you know, I can handle it. This is a great opportunity. But a fact has no meaning, an event has no meaning, a situation has no meaning, unless I make up a story or an interpretation or meaning about it. And my question to people is, Why are you making up a story that makes you feel bad on the red platform when you can make up a story that makes you feel good on the green platform? Because we do two things every day, David. We think and we feel. That's all we do every day. We think and we feel. Now, my question is, why are you thinking and feeling about what you don't want to create and attract into your life on the red platform when you can think and feel about all the things you want to create and attract into your life on the green platform?
So, on a practical level, these are all very inspirational things you're saying to think positively. You come into a company. A company is just a collection of people. Mm-hmm. You've got upbeat people. You've got sourpusses. Mm-hmm. You've got toxic people. Mm-hmm. And all together, they somehow decide how this entity is going to function. What do you do to troubleshoot this random assortment of people who are together, the company that you're coming to help?
Well, it's extraordinary because when they when they get the tools, when they see how it works, the presidents of companies say to me, our senior managers say to me, I cannot believe that something so simple can be so powerful and so transformational. Because it's that concept of, are you on the green platform, are you on the red platform? Let's look at questions. We have red platform questions, and it's 100% certain if I ask you a poison question on the red platform, I'll get a poison answer.
Give me an example.
An example of a poison question. A number of them would be, why me? What else is going to go wrong? What did I do to deserve this? And it's 100% certain you'll get a poison answer. Why you? Because you're a slob. Because you lacked early life love. Because your mother loved your sister more than you. But I didn't have a sister. But if you had, you would have. So you're going to get a poison. But if we ask empowering power questions on the green platform, and the power questions are, how can I, what can I? How can I turn this around and enjoy the process? How can I be the best that I can be? How can I inspire everyone around me? How can I how can I get into the 20% of my activities that are delivering 80% of my results? How can I work out of my strengths? How can I bring joy to the people I meet every day? So it's, if you, the quality of your life will depend on the, so a red platform question will poison you. A green platform question will give you energy and give you life.
So what do you do when somebody has done something either wrong or, at a minimum, let's just say, really not helpful to the rest of the group or to the company? They've perhaps written a letter to somebody or a client that was just very undiplomatically wording and, you know, maybe insulting and perhaps drove someone away. Don't you just tell them that didn't work? That was a failure.
Yeah, absolutely. If it's the green platform is not going out to the garden and saying, oh, it must be positive. There are no weeds. There are no weeds. There are weeds. Pull them. If there's a letter that's gone out that's wrong, you say, okay, let's take a look at that. Now, what would that look at if you think of the impact this had on the customer on a scale of 1 to 10? We look at that. That would be about 1 or 2 in terms of the... But what would be a 10 out of 10 response? How could we reword that? What are give me 3 ways that we could improve this letter and that we could make it a better experience for the customer. Because I'm always saying to people that, you know, they in the business today, we have very little, the competitive edge is gone very tight. And the only competitive edge we have, and this is 95% of business customers over the last 2 years have said that the only competitive edge we have today is the customer experience. And the customer either has a good experience or a bad experience. They don't have, and people won't remember what you said, they won't remember what you did, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. And sales is a transfer of emotion. It's that you have something, the 3 unasked questions every customer has is, they'll never ask them to you directly, but it's, number one, can I trust you? And our trust has been bankrupted over the last 10 years from companies and from Wall Street to banks to everywhere around the place. Second question is, do you know what you're talking about? And the third question is, are you in this for me? Or do I see written on your head, bonus in neon lights? And once you are passionate about the customer's success, everything follows.
We're talking with Declan Coyle. He's a management consultant, author of a book called The Green Platform. And, well, let's now move into one of the other things he does. You are have been an advisor to Coach John Calipari of the University of Kentucky basketball team, also known as the Wildcats. also known as the first undefeated team to make it to, I think, the Final Four since 1991, I think, if I've got my stats right here. How did you and Coach Calipari meet?
Well, the first, I do a lot of work for a company called Alltech, and the president is a man called Dr. Pierce Lyons, who is also an Irishman, but he also happens to be a very good friend of Coach Calipari. So at one stage, he suggested that to Coach that we would meet and talk over about 3 or 4 years about the team and building the team. And at the same time, I had done a radio interview with Coach Joby Hall, the Denny and Joby Hall show down in Lexington. And after the interview, the radio interview, Joby Hall rang Coach Cal and said, "Coach, you got to get this guy to talk to the Wildcats." And so I went in and I did sessions with them. I talked to them. I did one-to-ones with them. I did PowerPoint presentations to them. And the response was fantastic. And Coach Calipari was very good, because an extraordinary man like Coach Calipari, you wouldn't believe how humble he is and how willing he is to learn new things. And he would ask me to challenge him and everything, but he was very supportive. And our big thing was, first of all, to change from being negative to being positive, you know. And a lot of the negativity, people are not aware of it. It's like asking the fish, what's the water like? And the fish say, what water? Because it's that just ordinary, how are things, difficult. It's changing difficult into, look, think we were beaten, but we've learned our lessons and we're going to move on and we're going to be the best that we can be and we're going to play with freedom and play with abandon and express ourselves rather than tighten up. And it's changing that negativity. And as Willie Cauley Stein said one day, he says, you've changed my inner software into winner software, you know. And it's that's the big change.
So Kentucky is going to be playing in the Final Four shortly. Many people have them as the, including President Obama, have them as the odds-on favorite to win the NCAA championship. So when in this season did you show up to begin talking to the players and to Coach Calipari?
This season, my last was last August, but I had done a lot of work last year with them, with the team, with the one-to-ones, and I've been in touch with Coach Calipari through emails and that, you know.
So tell me about some of the conversations you have with players. These are young guys, incredibly talented young athletes. I doubt they've met a guy like you.
Yeah, well, it's just, again, it's almost, I remember the first day that, the first day I ever give a talk to the group, Coach Calipari summed it up afterwards, and he says, "Well, you heard the man." He said, "Fear and doubt, cast them out." And it's about, when you cast out fear and doubt, what comes in is self-confidence and belief. And the team that wins the title, they won it that year, 2012, but it's getting that self-belief and confidence into a team, because the most skillful team won't win and the strongest team won't win, but the team that's massively mentally strong will win. So it's not about a kid coming along and popping 500 balls into a basket in the middle of a court and training, but it's achieving excellence under pressure. That's what we work on. So when it comes down to the wire, we're the team on fire. It's getting those last 2 minutes, 2 seconds, 15, 20 seconds. How do we perform then? And all of the preparation is to be massively mentally strong for that.
So how do you get, you know, a star center, you know, a star player? What is it that you do to, you know, when he sits down in a room with you, how do you begin?
Well, one player might come in and say, "How are things?" And he says, "Oh, difficult, because been beaten the Saturday before that." And then we chat on, and then later on you just turn around and say, "Okay, now, let's switch around this here." And I said, "You be me and I'll be you. And you ask me, how are things?" And I said, "Oh, difficult. Now ask me again." And then I say, "Okay, you want to know how things are? We were beaten on Saturday, but we learned 3 lessons, 1, 2, and 3. And you want to know how things really are? We're going to war. We're going to relish the battle. We're going to play with freedom. We're going to play with abandon. We're going to cut loose. We're going to have fun on the court. We're going to have chemistry. We're going to have each other's backs. We're going to be the best that we can possibly be for the team. And next Wednesday night down in Old Mississippi, we're going to have the game of our lives and be the best that we can possibly be and have fun at the same time. Now, I said to him, which response makes you feel better? The, difficult. Or this other one. And it's about changing that. And then, because it's with our thoughts, because doubt and fear will come in. So what I do is I give them what I call power talk. And it's the subconscious loves rhythm, and the subconscious controls 96% of the way we act and move and have our being. So it would be like, I'm confident, positive, strong and fit. I'm fast, flexible, agile and accurate. The bigger the day, the better I play. We're on the green platform all the way. Every day and every way, I'm getting better and better. Or you can go poison talk. Oh, there's a very big crowd. I hope I miss the first ball. There's a very big crowd. I hope I miss the shot tonight. I hope I'm not taking out. Like, I feel very nervous. That's poison talk. So power talk is your choice. Everything is a choice.
So let's take it to the game that you just saw this weekend, University of Kentucky playing Notre Dame. What'd you see in that game? Kentucky almost lost.
Yeah, Kentucky almost lost because I think that the emotional and physical energy that went into West Virginia, who were hyped up by the press, took a huge amount out of them. And I think that...
That was a game they played on Thursday night, and they played Notre Dame on Saturday night.
So the quick turnover, and I felt that the most important thing for a team is to be fresh and is to have that energy. And what I think, you know, that they didn't play with the freshness that they played on Thursday evening, and they didn't play with the same energy and enthusiasm. But I always felt that they were going to make it because at the end, I knew they would be massively mentally strong. And I also know that within the team, Coach Calipari has been very careful to build leaders within the team. And he's built up. And those two young Harrison kids have taken on that leadership role hugely within the team. They're fantastic. And it's that role. And then because of the depth of players that he has, we would find that, you know, some nights things may not go, but then Coach Calipari's book is called Bounce Back. But you saw young Towns last Thursday, never got a score, bounced back and won the game single-handedly for Kentucky on Saturday. So it's that belief that, you know, what I want them to do is just get their, once the game starts, get their mind out of the way and trust the great athlete that's within them that knows more about basketball than they could ever dream of, and enjoy the process.
One of the people you credit with teaching you a lot is your son, Alexander, who has special needs. What has your son taught you?
Alexander has Mowat-Wilson syndrome, the first child in Ireland to be discovered with Mowat-Wilson syndrome. It means he'll never talk. He won't walk until he's about 11. He's 10 now. He's doubly incontinent. He'd be in nappies the rest of his life, or diapers, we say here in the States. And he's fed through a tube through his stomach, and he's on 31 medications a day. Having said that, he's the most magical child because he doesn't... On the red platform, we have an ego, and the ego wants to keep you from your happiness now by getting into the past with shame or guilt or regret, or the future with fear, anxiety, and worry. But like a shadow cannot live in sunshine, the ego cannot live in the now. But Alexander lives in the now. He doesn't do past, he doesn't do future, and he doesn't do forgiveness because he never judges you. He has unconditional love. The hands are out, the big smile, the warm welcome. It's for everybody. And when you're in his presence, David, you don't want the present moment to be anything other than what it is. And I was asked recently on a television show in Ireland when we were the launch of the Green Platform, and the interviewer asked me, what kind of a child is he, in two sentences? And I said, look, to sum up Alexander, he's not a human being that has the odd spiritual experience. He's a spiritual being having a human experience, and he teaches us all what real love is.
Declan Coyle, I want to thank you for joining us this week on the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you very much, David. It's my pleasure.
Declan Coyle is a management consultant and the author of The Green Platform, and he is also an advisor to the University of Kentucky Wildcats basketball team. That'll do it for this week's Vermont Conversation. Tune in next Wednesday at 1 for another Vermont Conversation.